Shabbat Shalom, Saints, and welcome to our Sabbath Holy Convocation Service. Each week, we gather with the expectation that Jehovah is going to meet us here. In fact, Jehovah commanded us to remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. We know, according to Leviticus 23, the Sabbath is a feast of Jehovah. So I want you to grab something to write with, something to write on, and prepare yourself to receive inspirational teachings, quotes you can use, and of course, the truth that set men free. So stay tuned for our Sabbath Holy Convocation Service. Shalom, I'm Arthur Bailey, Chancellor of the Accredited Hebrew Roots University. Hebrew Roots University is the world's first and only accredited theological university that approaches scripture from a Messianic Hebrew Roots perspective. At Hebrew Roots University, you can earn an accredited associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctorate degree in several disciplines. I'm ecstatic to announce our Laborers Grant available to all HRU students. Our new Laborers Grant enables us to eliminate the $50 application fee and cover 50% of tuition costs across all degree programs, removing additional financial barriers and making our tuition even more affordable to all students. There are no prerequisites or pre-qualifications required. Simply apply, and the grant would be automatically applied to your account. All students that apply today will be given a Laborers Grant, which will cover 50% off all tuition costs and will be automatically awarded for each term the student is enrolled. You can apply now. If you have any questions at any time during the application process, please do not hesitate to reach out to our admissions team using the Have Questions section at the bottom of our website. The implementation of our new Laborers Grant will provide access to as many people as possible from all nations worldwide who are desirous of higher education in ministry and becoming laborers in the end-time harvest of the kingdom. Here at Hebrew Roots University, we are dedicated to our mission to teach the true gospel of the kingdom, the gospel Yeshua taught, to people of all nations, and to eradicate biblical illiteracy worldwide. We look forward to walking with you on this exciting journey, so check us out now at HebrewRootsUniversity.com. That's HebrewRootsUniversity.com. Don't wait. Take advantage of our new Laborers Grant, so apply now. HebrewRootsUniversity.com. Thank you. Shalom. Shalom, saints. The last thing Yeshua said to his disciples before he ascended was, "Go and make disciples of all nations." This command is known as the Great Commission. Our ministries have taken this commission very seriously and developed a discipleship training program that will change the way discipleship has been done up to now. Most discipleship training programs are denominational in their approach and is doing exactly what the Pharisees and Sadducees did in the days of Yeshua. Yeshua said, "You search the world over to find one proselyte, and you make them twice the son of hell as they were before you found them." The vision of Arthur Bailey Ministries and House of Israel is to be a worshiping people, an evangelistic community, a discipleship center, an equipping network, and a worldwide witness for Yeshua, the Messiah. In fulfillment of the Great Commission, we've developed Discipleship101.tv. Discipleship101.tv is a two-year seminary-level discipleship training program that takes a Messianic Hebrew Roots approach to the Scriptures. Now that we've completed this program, we are making it available to people around the world for free. We now have the opportunity to get it into every federal and state prison library and libraries around the nation. We also have the potential for getting this program accredited in universities and Bible colleges around the country. Now here's where we need your help. We need you to stand with us at the $1,500 level to help us get these workbooks printed and DVDs printed and duplicated in order to get them placed in prison libraries around the nation. For your help, we want to bless you with all of the workbooks and DVDs for each class as a thank you for helping us get this valuable information out. For your partnership, you will get all 8 workbooks and all of the DVDs by partnering with us today at the $1,500 level. Thank you in advance for helping us get this valuable, extensive, messianic Hebrews discipleship training program to the nations of the world. By doing so, we're doing exactly what Yeshua said to do when he commissioned us to make disciples of the nation. Join us in this most important mission of making disciples of the nation by partnering with us today at the $1,500 level. You can partner with us at this level by sending your partnership check or money order to House of Israel. If you would like to pledge your partnership with us and make payments, please do so on our website at www.arthurbaileyministries.com. Just let us know you would like to make a pledge and make payments. Please help us get this material published so it can be placed in prison libraries and libraries around the nation. Partner with us today at the $1,500 level. Thank you.
House of Israel International Services are held weekly at 3601 Rose Lake Drive, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28217, 11 a.m. Saturday mornings and 7 p.m. Thursday evenings, Eastern Time. This live broadcast is made possible through financial contributions from brothers and sisters like you. Your financial support is greatly appreciated. Thank you. Motivating. Inspiring, challenging, encouraging, deepening, strengthening, and enhancing your faith. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to House of Israel International's live worship service.
Greetings, saints, and Shabbat Shalom. Hey, welcome to House of Israel, and may you be blessed for joining us on this Jehovah's Feast Day. Welcome back to all you regulars, and if this is the first time you're watching, we're glad to have you as well. And in case you're wondering what we do here at House of Israel, we teach the Word, the whole Word, and nothing but the Word. Amen. So today's message is titled, A Mystery of Jehovah Manifested. You know, previously, we covered the introduction to the letter to the Colossians, and we discussed the who wrote it, why it was written, when it was written, and to whom. So if you missed that, go check it out. So today, we'll be doing a verse-by-verse study in the first chapter of Colossians, covering verses 1 through 29. You know, the mystery of Yehovah manifested reveals one as being supreme over all creation and sufficient for salvation. Believers are to remain steadfast in the gospel. So stay tuned for one of the most Messiah-centered passages in the Bible. At the end of today's teaching, you'll be given an opportunity to give of your tithes and of your offerings as Father has blessed you. If you go to arthurbaileyministries.com, on the live stream page, you'll see at the bottom right side a chat icon. If you join our chat, you'll be able to submit questions, testimonies, and prayer requests, which we'll cover at the end of today's service. While you're there, we also encourage you to subscribe to get notifications of upcoming teaching titles and events. And we're also on YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, and X. So like, subscribe, but please share. At this time, I'd like to invite Brother Stephen Mason to come up and lead us in opening prayer.
Thank you, Brother. Shabbat Shalom, saints of the Most High, who keep his commandments. You keep the commandments of Yehovah and Yeshua Messiah because we love them. We thank you, Father, for giving us your ability to hear thy word, to apply thy word in our life, and we pray that you continue to bless us. We thank you for this day, your holy Sabbath day that you have created, and you have allowed your people to gather together here in the Discipleship Center, as well as online, those that are there watching this teaching. And we thank you, Father, for your Sabbath and the rest that you will provide for us. We praise you. We glorify you. We thank you for all that you do, Father. We thank you for your word, for your word is truth. And in that truth, there is life, there is freedom, there is salvation, there is all things that we need in order to be pleasing unto thee, as Yeshua Messiah is pleasing unto thee. We thank you, Father. We bless you and praise you for your son, Yeshua Messiah, who is our perfect model. He is our Lord and Master. He is our high priest. And he came to the earth and he walked the earth and taught the people how to keep thy commandments, how to keep thy statutes, thy laws, and to walk in thy ways and to honor and glorify you in all things. And we thank him because he is the manifestation of your word. So we thank your word. For your word, because your son said that whatsoever we desire when we pray, believing that we receive them, we shall have them, O Heavenly Father. And we believe that we will receive all things that you provide to us so that we will be pleasing unto thee, because we want to please thee forever. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your apostles, your pastors, your teachers, your ministers, all of those who you have anointed, who will bring forth your true gospel and will teach the nations of the world. We thank you, we praise them, we glorify them, Father, for all that you have promised them and you have anointed them, O gracious Father. And we thank Apostle Bailey. We bless him, we praise him and his family for all that he does, because he brings the true gospel to the nations of the world. And we thank you, Father, for fixing the computer electronic system so that this will go forth. We glorify you, we praise you, we honor you for this day that you have also allowed us to be above ground so that we may worship you, honor you, and glorify you and walk in your ways this day and every day. We love you, we praise you, we honor you, and we glorify you through Yeshua Messiah, our Lord and Master. In Yeshua Messiah, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Stephen. Well, saints, to bring us the message, a mystery of Yehovah manifested, Apostle Arthur Bailey.
Amen. Shabbat Shalom, saints. Greetings to all of you, and welcome to our Sabbath service. Today, I really need you all to pay some close attention, because this teaching that I'm going to present to you today is quite challenging, and I'm hoping that it challenges you. I've certainly been challenged. In fact, Father has been challenging us a lot lately.
We're going to be in Colossians, and we're going to be looking at chapter 1 of Colossians. Chapter 1, we're going to talk about a mystery. Now, for those of you who know, there are plenty of mysteries in the book. There's mysteries that Paul wrote about in abundance. And so instead of the mystery, we're going to be talking about a mystery. But this mystery is the most important of them all. And so we're going to be looking at the first chapter, verses 1 through 29. And I really want to encourage you today, if you can, just let your mind be blank. Now, I know that's hard sometimes to do with all the knowledge and information that we have. But what I've come to realize is one of the greatest opposition to the Almighty's word is belief systems. If you have a belief system, it's easy to look at his word through that system. And when we do that, we can't see. We see what we want to see, and we even project what we believe onto the pages that we read, and we're not even oftentimes aware that we're doing that. And so we see but can't see. And as a result, we don't do. Now, in this generation, in my generation, which is a older generation, and especially in the generation that we live in now, there seems to be very little faith in the earth. It's sad to say. We live in an unbelieving world. The world that we live in seems to be faithless. There's a lot of angry people. I've never seen as much as I've seen this year in past history where children are actually taking out their parents. I mean, it's almost every day you look at the news and you see angry children rising up against their parents and even to the point of murder. We live in a time when people are lazy and don't want to work. They want something for nothing. They want things given to them. There's a feeling of entitlement that people have. And when I really think about the time that we live in, we have never needed the Creator more than we need him now. And so this mystery and what this is going to require of us is that, brothers and sisters, we really do have to rise up. You and I, we have to rise up because there's so much that we're not walking in that we should be walking in. And we got to change that. If we don't, what we'll find ourselves doing is allowing the world around us to suppress us. And there's a lot of suppression and depression. So we're going to be talking about the mystery or a mystery of Jehovah manifested. At the end of our teaching today, you're going to be given an opportunity to give, to ask questions, and to receive prayer. Our mission statement, restoring the Hebrew roots to the Christian and Jewish faiths. The vision of House of Israel is to be a worshiping people, an evangelistic community, a discipleship center, an equipping network, and a worldwide witness for Yeshua the Messiah. Our declaration for Jehovah's blessings. I declare this is my season for peace, power, promises, and prosperity. I declare the peace of Jehovah in my life and in my body. I declare the power of Jehovah to manifest fully in my life. I declare the promises of Jehovah fulfilled in my life. I declare the prosperity of Jehovah to permeate every area of my life. And I declare I will walk in obedience to Jehovah every day of my life. Father, as we come together in your presence today, we certainly welcome your presence in the midst of us. Help us to recognize what that truly means, that we may walk in your presence, in your power, in your anointing every single day of our lives. We ask that you forgive us of every sin that we've committed, that you cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and that you create in us clean hearts and renew the right spirit in us. Give us ears to hear today. Give us eyes to see. Give us the ability to comprehend, to understand that which you reveal to us, and then show us how to incorporate them and walk them out in our daily lives. We give honor and glory to you. We pray that you be glorified in the midst of us, and that we bless you with all that is in us. We bless your holy name. Help us to bless you always. As the psalmist declared, let everything that has breath praise you. And so we praise you in this place today. We praise you in our doing, in our going, in our coming, in all that we are. Blessed be your name. Amen. So we're going to read the overview. Colossians chapter 1. Reveals the mystery of Jehovah manifested in Yeshua, the Messiah, as being supreme over all creation and fully sufficient for salvation as the central focus of faith and life for believers. The chapter calls believers to remain grounded, steadfast, unmoved from the hope of the gospel. Paul opens with thanksgiving and prayer, affirming the faith, the love, the hope of the Colossian believers. And then he moves into one of the most Messiah-centered passages in the Bible, declaring Messiah as the image of the invisible Elohim, the creator of all things, and the head of the body, the assembly. The chapter concludes with Paul's testimony of suffering and ministry, emphasizing the revealed mystery now made known to the saints. A few weeks ago, and it's becoming more and more obvious and practiced for me, is maintaining faith. And what I mean by that is there are things that I have trusted and believed the Almighty for, and then there is opposition that comes against that belief. And then the opposition seems to be designed to cause me to become double-minded in the vision or in the thing that I'm believing for. You ever believed something and then someone says something that creates some doubt? And once that doubt is created, shaking that doubt is not the easiest thing to do. In fact, the doubt that has been allowed to stand causes one's faith to waver. I've believed some things, and then it seemed, based on circumstances, that those things were not going to come to pass. And as a result of that thought, words begin to formulate, and you can find yourself speaking against the thing that you believed for, because of the doubt that has been allowed to stand. And what I have found myself having to do is shake the doubt. I have to shake the words. I have to guard myself so that the words that comes at me that is contrary to what I'm believing for don't have place. Because once the words have place, I become double-minded. I believe, but then I'm shaken, and then I try to believe, and then it's like there's a tug of war between faith and doubt operating within myself. Now, in one sense, Paul talks about that in Romans to where, you know, where you will to do good, evil is always present. And therefore, the thing that you desire to do or the thing that you want to do, which is please the Almighty, you'll find yourself, because of whatever you allow to stand, can begin to cause you to pull away from pleasing him, and then you find yourself displeasing, and you feel it. You know when you have said and done things that you know should not have been said or should not have been done, and you think these thoughts. And these thoughts war in our brain. It wars in our minds. And you'll find yourself being tossed to and fro in your own head. I'm hoping that by the time we get to the end of this teaching, that you're going to have a better handle of that. And then you're going to be watchful. Because it's important. When I say things like always being aware of what's going on up here, the moment you are not aware of what's going on up here, you've been taken hostage. You've been taken hostage by your own mind. That's a terrible thing. When you become a hostage to your own thoughts, you're the ones who's supposed to be controlling what's going on up there, and now it's controlling you. In this opening chapter of Colossians, Paul reveals several important points of relationships. He explains the relationship between Jehovah and Yeshua, the Father and the Son. He reveals the relationship between Jehovah and Yeshua and the Colossians. He describes how the relationship between Jehovah and Yeshua, the Father and Son, relates to all who receive the gospel Yeshua preached and commissioned all believers to teach. And I can't help but wonder that if what I just explained to you all ever happened in Messiah's life. Now, I know that he faced opposition. I know that he had enemies. He knew when he had enemies. And I also know that there are times when he wanted to go in one direction, but because of what was going on, he withdrew himself and went in another direction. In this teaching, Paul reveals a mystery of Jehovah that has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, and what that mystery means to all believers in Messiah. I'm going to challenge you, first of all, to focus on Messiah and his works. Now, I'm going to say a lot. I'm going to mention Paul's name a lot of times. But I also have to remind you that Paul is not the one that we're to keep our eyes on. Paul is not the author of your faith. Paul is not the finisher of our faith. And it's always strange for me that when I mention things about Messiah, people mention Paul. It's almost as if the church world, the religious world, has exalted Paul above Messiah. Now, they won't say that, but the actual communication, their conversation, shows it. In Colossians 1:1, Paul, an apostle of Yeshua Messiah by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Messiah, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Yeshua Messiah. Now, there is a common theme in the opening statements of all of Paul's letters, from the first letter written to the Thessalonians in AD 55 to his last letter written to Timothy in AD 64. Now, I've had to, in my mind, wrestle in how I present what I'm presenting to you today because of Christian theology. I know that when I came out of the world into the church, I brought a little bit of the world with me, and that world had to be purged off me. I know that when I left the Baptist church and was called to go to the Apostolic Pentecostal, that I took some of that Baptist theology with me, and I had to be purged of that in order for me to operate faithfully within that environment. When I was led out of there to the Lutheran, and then to the Christian Reformed, and then to the Independent, and then even into the Messianic, in each of those phases, I've had to have things purged. In all of those places, I picked up this or picked up that. I picked up some things. I picked up some belief systems. Because if you're going to effectively operate in any environment, you're going to have to acclimate to that environment. Otherwise, you find yourself in opposition or at opposition with people in those environments. And to avoid that, you kind of you become part of the environment that you're in. Assimilate. It's hard not to assimilate. In each of Paul's letters, he reveals who the letter is sent to. That's the audience or recipient. And he acknowledges Jehovah the Father and Jehovah the Son. Now, I'm going to tell you what some people are going to hear as I'm about to proceed in this teaching. Some people are going to have an issue with the fact that I don't believe Paul's letters are the Word of God. Some people are going to have issue with the fact that I don't believe that what Paul wrote to the Colossians was actually required by those in Corinth to live by. I don't believe that what Paul wrote in his letters is for everybody, but to a particular audience, and Paul made it very clear in the letters themselves. Another thing some people are going to have an issue with is, what am I standing on as it relates to the deity of Messiah? Now, I said some things in the past that I know people have had some issues with, and those issues may surface or resurface in this teaching, that when people see Messiah as deity, they disqualify themselves from doing the work of Messiah. Say that again. When people view Messiah as deity, they disqualify themselves from doing the work of Messiah unless they see themselves as deity as well. How are you going to be able to do the work of God? If one believes that Messiah is God, then that disqualifies us from doing what he did, because we are not God. Are you with me? You following me? And so that in itself gives us a pass, whereas we don't have to try to do what he did, even though he said what he did, we shall do. You see the conflict. He's telling us to do what he did, but we don't believe we can do what he did. So we won't do what he did because we don't believe we can do what he did, because he was God and we're not. Now, I'm not trying to talk over anybody's head, but as I'm saying to you, I'm coming straight for you today. I also have to realize, and it's sad for me to say this, but I've had to embrace it. I'll just say it. Everybody can't hang out here. And I've accepted that. This is a tough place. This is a tough ministry to be a part of, because you're going to be held accountable to the Word of God. This ain't no religious environment. This is not some church service. This is where we are supposed to do the work that we have been called to do. When people come to the conclusion that Messiah is deity again, that disqualify them, and those same people believe, many of them, not all, but many of them believe that God's law is a curse. That God gave his people the law to curse them. Now, you may not think that, but when you listen to what people say, we're not under the law. The law is cursed. It's like, where you get that from? Paul's writing. But Paul didn't write that. That's how you interpreted it. This is how people project their beliefs onto the pages of the books of the Bible. Every letter Paul wrote, every one of them, and I'm going to walk you through them. Every last one of the letters Paul wrote, Paul addressed a particular audience, and he also acknowledged the Father and the Son. This is not Trinitarianism, nor is it oneness in the sense of Pentecostalism. But individuals who believe in Jesus as God are going to have a problem with the opening statements of Paul that they're going to project onto me because I'm simply revealing what Paul wrote. But when you get sound bites in churches and you aren't taken through the letters themselves, there's a whole lot you won't see. Which is why when we do our verse-by-verse study of the books of the Bible or the letters of the Bible or the writings in the Bible, we start with who wrote it, to whom it was written. Why do you think I do that? So you know who it was written to. Now, if it was written to them, then how can it be written to you? Now, if he addresses us in these, then we should take it personal. So, the first letter Paul wrote was 1 Thessalonians. The last letter is believed to have been to Timothy. So here's what Paul says in the opening verses of 1 Thessalonians. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians. Are we the church of the Thessalonians? Which is in God, the Father, and in the Lord Yeshua Messiah. Grace be unto you and peace from who? From God our Father and the Lord Yeshua Messiah. 2 Thessalonians 1:1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Yeshua Messiah. Grace unto you and peace from who? From God our Father and the Lord Yeshua Messiah. Galatians 1:1-2. And all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia from God the Father and from our Lord Yeshua Messiah. 1 Corinthians, unto the church of God, verse 2, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Messiah Yeshua, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Yeshua Messiah our Lord, both theirs and ours, grace be unto you and peace. From who? From God our Father and from the Lord Yeshua Messiah. 2 Thessalonians, Paul, an apostle of Yeshua Messiah, by the will of God, By whose will? By whose will? By the will of God and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is where? At Corinth. Are we at Corinth? With all the saints which are in Achaia, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Yeshua Messiah. Now, you should be reading your Bible, because I could be manipulating these verses. You should make sure that this is in your book. This is coming from mine. But we may not be reading from the same version. I'm reading from the King James. And so I think it says this in all the other versions too. Romans 1:7. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Yeshua Messiah. Ephesians 1. Paul, an apostle of Yeshua Messiah, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Messiah Yeshua, grace be to you and peace. From who? From God our Father, from the Lord Yeshua Messiah. Philippians 1:1. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Yeshua Messiah, to all the saints in Messiah Yeshua, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from who? God our Father, and from the Lord Yeshua Messiah. You had enough yet? Because he ain't done. This is in every last one of his letters. Every one. So we see Paul has a belief system based on what he's revealing, that there is God who is our Father and the Lord Yeshua, the Messiah. He makes this very clear. Titus 1:4, to Titus, not to Arthur, mine own son, I'm not Paul's son. Hello, I'm a son of God. Mine own son, after the common faith. And you know what some foolish people are going to say? You're just trying to undermine Paul's letters. I'm not trying to undermine anything. I'm simply reading what Paul wrote. Paul knew where he was coming from. Theologians and preachers have made him something other than what he saw himself to be. They've exalted him and his writings as if we now are commanded to do what Paul said. Even to the contrary or contradiction of Messiah himself. You tell somebody about Yeshua and they want to tell you what Paul said. It's like, how does Paul even get in this conversation? And what I'm doing right now is I'm trying to brainwash y'all. That's what I'm doing. I'm just going to tell you. This is brainwashing. Why? Because your brain, you got a dirty mind. If you believe some of that stuff that they're saying out there, you've been brainwashed with dirty water. Got to clean this up. Got to clean it up. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Yeshua Messiah, our Savior. Philemon, Paul, a prisoner of Yeshua Messiah, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon. Now, this is one of those letters that I haven't had preachers try to tell me that we have to listen to or follow what Paul said because this is a personal letter to Philemon. Now, they say, well, when he wrote to Titus, that's the order. You gotta ordain bishops and you gotta ordain deacons and elders in this manner. Timothy is a pastoral letter. That's how they designate it, as a pastoral letter for pastors on how they're supposed to operate and ordain leaders and the qualifications. Now, when these brothers ordained deacons in Acts, because of the circumstance with the widows, they didn't follow that qualification Paul laid out. They seem to have operated by different, because they're saying, listen, you know, you got to ordain these individuals who've been with us from the beginning. It's like, okay. And this is how he established the deacons in Acts. However, by the time we get to Paul's letters and his writings, then there's a whole nother process of qualification where now people try to hold across the board. You know what Paul never write about is the qualifications for apostles. He doesn't deal with the qualifications for prophets. He doesn't deal with the qualifications for evangelists, for pastors, or for teachers. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Yeshua Messiah. 1 Timothy. Unto Timothy, my own son, in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Yeshua Messiah, our Lord. Paul's letters to Titus and Timothy gave ministers the mindset that they are to raise up spiritual sons. Paul had sons in the spirit. You notice Yeshua didn't have no sons in the spirit. And now you have ministers pattern themselves after their father, their spiritual father. Now you got spiritual fathers and God the Father. See, all this stuff creeps in and it just starts dirtying up the water, muddying up the water, and you got people looking to men instead of people looking to God. I've had to deal with people looking to me to try to make me into something that I ain't called to be. And then they start looking at my wife to try to make her something she ain't called to be. My wife is not called to be a preacher. She ain't called to lead women's ministry. Or Sunday school. Because what happens is that when people get all this stuff in their head, they start creating qualifications for people. And then they start looking at my children and judging them different by a whole different set of standards than they judge their own little naughty head, snot nose, cheering. And I fell for it. I fell for it to the point to where people are going to try to tell me how I'm supposed to be a minister and how my wife is supposed to be a minister's wife and how my children are supposed to be minister's children. PK kids. PK preacher's kids. Little goats. I'm telling you. And them preacher's kids start acting like goats, didn't they? The bad cheering. Second Timothy. To Timothy, my beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Messiah Yeshua, our Lord. And so what Paul is doing here, brothers and sisters, is he's trying to help these individuals that he's writing to, that there is the Father, the God of creation, and he has a son that actually is the Word of God made flesh. This son is the Word of God made flesh that was with God in the beginning. This is how John could write, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And this Word became flesh. And so Paul wants people to understand and to make a distinction between the Word and the giver of the Word. The Word and the giver of the Word. Because he's going to say something at the end of this letter that is going to shake all of us, or it should shake all of us. But if we got a religious mind, we won't be shaken. Because we won't see it. And we certainly won't understand what it means. And if you don't understand what something means, you can't apply it to yourself. Which is why many people don't. Throughout Paul's letter to the Colossians, he repeatedly refers to God as the Father of the Lord Yeshua Messiah. Verse 3, he says, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Yeshua Messiah, praying always for you. Now remember, Paul never visited Colossae and heard of their faith and their love for the saints. And here's what is communicated in his letter because of this love, that when we have a love for God, we love his people. You cannot love God and not love his people. And I'll say this, you know, because this carries over. We can be some very possessive people. Very possessive in the sense that when we are friends with someone and our friend has a friend who is our enemy, we got a problem with our friend. We don't want our friends to have relationship with people we don't like. We are possessive and we can be controlling. Now, I can understand not having a relationship with someone who has an issue with your wife, or not having or have a relationship with someone who has an issue with your husband, because the two of you are supposed to be one. If a man has a friend who has an issue with his wife, that man need to cut off that man. You don't let somebody talk trash about your spouse, not even your mama. Mama, hold on. Hold on, mama. Because according to the Word of God, we are supposed to be one, not us. And so, anyone who has a problem with your spouse, they got a problem with me. You can't have an issue with my wife. If you do, you got a problem with me. Now you might be right. I'm not saying you're wrong. You understand what I'm saying? But we gonna work that out. See. If you have a relationship with someone who has a problem with your spouse, you know who else is going to have a problem with you? Your spouse. Do yourself a favor. Cut it off. Stop the nonsense. You can't love God and not like his people. This is why Father has incorporated in his word through Messiah how we are supposed to be one as a people. Remember what Yeshua prayed, that we be one. Now, here's what you can't be and be one. You have a problem with somebody and you just abandon them. That's not oneness. That's not what one people do. You work through your issues. You deal with your issues. You confront your issues. And if you can't get things right in that situation, you bring the rest of the family, starting with two. And then you bring a matter before the whole family. Because that's what the body is. The body is the family of God. It's the household of God. Verse 4. Since we heard of your faith in Messiah Yeshua and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before the word of the truth of the gospel. Or before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you since the day we heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. Now, what he's going to say is the word is going to bring forth fruit in your life. If the word is not bringing forth, and there's certain kind of fruit. There's certain kind of fruit. Those of you who were watching Brother Marcus this morning, you may have seen him put up a chart where he talked about the fruit of the Spirit and the works of the flesh. The fruit of the Spirit and the works of the flesh. Now, if you carefully examine that chart that Paul writes about in Galatians chapter 5, you'll begin to see where you are. Are there things operating in you that are the works of the flesh? Because I'll tell you, the thing that's going to keep you from ever becoming the son of God is your own flesh. Your own desires, which come from the flesh. Because the desires that are in men that come from the from the flesh is going to pull them more toward the flesh. And when you are pulled toward the flesh, you are being pulled away from the Spirit. When you allow your emotions to lead you and to guide you and to operate in you, guess what's not operating in you? The Spirit. You can't be led by the flesh and by the Spirit at the same time. It don't work like that. And if you're making excuses for your emotions, then what you might have to deal with is controlling your emotions and stop letting your emotions control you. Oh, this is confrontation. It's straight up confrontation. You're going to have to fight yourself and kick your butt. And not just today. Because you show up every, you know, Brother Ephraim, I got this standing joke at home. And it comes from something Brother Ephraim taught. that if death is sleep, if death is sleep, we die every night. And every morning, we resurrect. Every morning, we resurrect. And so I say sometimes to my wife, happy resurrection. That's my greeting to her in the morning. Happy resurrection. You rose from the dead. Now, I just hope you left you. Now, I don't say this to her. But I hope you left you in the bed. I might incorporate that. Sounds good. Because, you know, I'm not looking to see you. I'm looking to see the woman of God, not the woman. Anyways. As you also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Messiah. So we see this Epaphras is the one who actually evangelized in Colossae and brought the Colossian assembly together. He's the one who told Paul about their conversion, and he also operated in Laodicea and Hierapolis. We noted that in the end of this letter that Paul told the Colossians to, when you're finished reading this letter, to send it over to the Laodiceans, and then take the letter from the Laodiceans and read it among the Colossians. Those are two letters that we know that was for two different assemblies, but those two assemblies were in the same region. They were facing the same issues. They were dealing with the same type of people in the mindset that was with the people in that community. Verse Colossians 4:13 says, "For I bear him record," speaking of Epaphras, "that he hath a great zeal for you and them that are in Laodicea and them in Hierapolis, who also declared unto us," okay, we're going to jump back to chapter 1. So this Epaphras declared unto us your love in the Spirit. Verse 9, Colossians 1. "For this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you, and to the desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." With all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you would know or be filled with the knowledge of his will. The knowledge of his will. Now, on Thursday, I used an illustration concerning the cloning of a voice, to where there are books that I've read that we're getting them in an audio version and in my voice. And the way that happened is a sampling of my voice is taken, and then my voice now read the book in my voice in audio form. However, in order for the book to be in my voice, they had to get a sample of my voice. The sampling of my voice, when you hear it, it will be like Arthur speaking. Now, they can't get somebody else's voice to sound like me. Only my voice sounds like me. Now, the illustration that I use is that in order for you to know it's me, you have to know how I talk. To a stranger who've never heard me speak, they won't know whose voice that is. But to those of you who have heard me speak, you'll be able to recognize my voice. Why? Because you've heard my words. When it comes down to the Word of God, the way you know he's speaking is because you know his words. You've heard his words. You know how he talks. You hear what I'm saying? To have the knowledge of the will of God is to know what God has said concerning his will. His words came from his mouth. My sheep know my voice, and the voice of strangers they will not follow. They recognize the voice because they know what has been spoken by the voice. The commandments on Sinai came directly from the mouth of God. He spoke, Moses wrote, the people heard his voice, heard what he said, and even though he had stopped speaking because he had spoken all he needed to speak, all they now have to do is follow what he has said and do it. The knowledge of the will of God has been revealed by God. Now I'm going to show you how Paul lays this thing out. To be filled with the knowledge of God requires faith in Yeshua, requires to have the spirit of Jehovah, and will require a renewed mind. This renewed mind we're going to see is when we come to him, we already got all this stuff in our minds. And it's an accumulation of information that we've gathered over time that has enabled us to create a belief system. You have a belief system. It's part of who you are. It's how you judge. It's how you measure. It's how you operate. It's how you determine who has access to you and who don't. It's how you decide you're going to choose relationships, friendships, everything, because you've developed this. And within there are safety parameters. Why? Because not only do you have a belief system, but that belief system has been developed by pain, by joy, by hurt, by experiences. So you've got experiences that you come with. It's called, in the spirit, baggage. That's what it's called. Just trying to help you. And you bring that baggage with you into your relationship with God. And you know what you do? You see God through the lens of baggage, which is why the mind has to be renewed. Not just some of it, all of it. It's going to get all the way down to the very choice of words you use. Now, a lot of you've never read in the Bible, never. You've never read it. And you've never heard God refer to his children as kids. So where'd that come from? And why is it the whole world uses the term kids to define their children? Where'd that come from? It didn't come from him. It didn't come from the word. And there's a whole lot of other stuff in us just like that. And we'll fight and down that hill. What's wrong with that? You know, words evolve. The dictionaries just get bigger and bigger because every year new words are created. Yeah. And next thing you know, the words created by the world is saturated in you. And guess how you see the world? Through what that lens. This is why we have to be cleansed. We have to be renewed. We have to be restored. which starts with redemption. It's where God says, listen, the world had you, and now I'm buying you back. Now, there are people who will make a lot of noise about the blood of Jesus while not allowing themselves to be completely redeemed. See, when you're redeemed, you ain't yours no more. And there's too many of God's people who think their lives belong to them. Yes, sir. They live their lives unto themselves, oftentimes not acknowledging him in certain things, but in certain things acknowledging him, especially when things get a little difficult. Now, all of a sudden, we need to hear from the Lord. You need to hear from him all the time, every day. He needs to guide your steps. He needs to lead you. Because they who are led by his spirit are who? His. They're his. Yeshua said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And you shall find what? Rest. For your rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And here's what Paul wrote in Romans 12 to the Romans. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Paul understood the Torah to be the wisdom and understanding of the saints. And this is what the Almighty gave Moses to communicate to Israel. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as Jehovah my God commanded me that you should do so in the land whether you go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. Now, understand that when you walk in the law, when you walk in the Torah, when you walk in the commandments, you're walking in wisdom and understanding. And where does this wisdom and understanding come from? The all-wise one. Now, also notice here, this Torah was not just confined to the Israelites, because Father says the way you conduct yourself, the way you live, and people is going to inquire about why are you living this way? Why are you doing the Sabbath? Why are you doing the feast? Why are you doing all these things? And then when they see what I'm doing in the midst of you, they're going to say, you all are wise and understanding people. How are they going to come to that conclusion? By how you live in the world. Father gave the law to the Israelites, but the world around them is going to hear about that law because they're watching the Israelites live out this word, his commandments, and seeing that God is near these people. God is with these people. Don't mess with them. Ask Pharaoh about them. Ask them. There's some stories that came along with these people, and their God ain't no joke. Better ask somebody. If anything, you better make peace with them. You don't want to be their enemies, because understand something. When you become their enemies, you become an enemy of their God. And how they going to know? They going to watch you live out this Torah in the midst of them. And they going to know how you live is different from how they live. Paul wrote the Romans to inform them of the spiritual understanding. Notice what he says. For we know that the law is spiritual. The law is spiritual. Spiritual people do spiritual stuff. And the law is spiritual. So spiritual people is going to keep the law, which is spiritual. How else are you going to be spiritual? Religious? Denominational? What makes you spiritual? Because you go to church? Because you speak in tongues? What makes you spiritual? Your lifestyle. You see, people are going to see your lifestyle and say, hey, they different from us. They not like us. For real. For real, real. Verse 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. In other words, come on in the door, but don't stay at the door. Keep moving. Why? Because you come in as a babe, but the goal is to become an adult. The goal is to become mature. See, mature people know how to talk through things. Immature people don't. Immature people get hurt. They get bothered. Get offended. Somebody stepped on their little toe. They can't take nothing. Super sensitive to everything. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Giving thanks in all things is a difficult thing to do. How do you give thanks when you've lost your wife? How do you give thanks when your child is deceased? How do you give thanks when you got laid off from your job? I mean, how do you give thanks for circumstances that causes sadness, pain, and hurt? I'll tell you how. Nothing happens in your life that surprises God. In fact, he saw it before it came. He even starts trying to prepare you for it because he shows you things to come if you're paying attention. So no matter what happens and what you're going through, you can give thanks because you know you ain't going through it by yourself. You know that the God, and this is where this mystery is going to come in. I'm giving it away, but you already know the end of this story. God in you. If he's in you, then nothing around you is difficult or impossible to overcome. Why? Because you could do all things in him who is in you. Are you hearing me? So no matter what you're going through, you're not by yourself. No matter what you're dealing with, you're not in it alone. Father is right there with you. He's promised in Messiah to never leave you or forsake you. But you know why you get scared? Because you take your eyes off of him. You know why you get worried? Because you take your eyes off of him. You get bothered because you realize you ain't got no power over this situation. But him in you got all power. When you take your eyes off of him, you start looking at your circumstances. And your circumstances sometimes can scare the hell out you, which is a good thing. Because afterwards, hell ain't in you no more. Giving thanks. God is our deliverer. He places us into his kingdom, whom he has made Messiah ruler. Verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear son? This is through faith, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So let me tell you something. Pleading the blood is more than just a statement or some kind of cliche. The fact that you have been redeemed is the fact that you are now translated into his kingdom, and now kingdom power is at your disposal. So when you're going through in your head, pull those thoughts down and exalt him in your thinking. And guess what? As it was prayed earlier, believe that what you pray for or ask for, it's going to happen. Now, what keeps it from happening? When those thoughts that are contrary to what you believe get in your mind and start tossing you to and fro. You're in faith, you're not in faith. You're in faith, you're not in faith. You're in faith, you're not in faith. Unstable in all your ways. Let not that man think he shall receive anything from God. Faith is unwavering. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? Let's deal with this image. An image, a figure, a likeness, an image of the things is used simply as image. That's the Greek icon.